Congregation, we know that there are certain cultures in this world, certain countries, certain nations that have a way to deal with crimes, sins, or transgressions against their tradition, against their culture, by revenge, to save the honor, like they call it. And so even relatives might kill relatives. A father might, you do not dare to say it, do you? A father might feel like he has to kill his own child, his own daughter or a brother, his sister, because of a certain sin or supposed something that was against their culture, tradition, and brought a blame upon the family. And so they think, yes, this is the way to get rid of that, that we take revenge to clean, you could say, to save the name of our family. And we don't thank the Lord, we don't know that in our culture, do we? Oh, we do know, by the grace of God, we do know the scriptures, the holy word of God, the Bible. And that's pointing in a totally different direction. Don't avenge yourself. That's something we have to leave for the Lord to bring to Him. Scripture is teaching us the way of forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin and transgressions. And so a way of reconciliation. A way of atonement, redemption. So that relations will be restored and not relations and life will be destroyed or ruined. And that's so unique. Where else could you find this in the world, in whatever religion? And this is the only true religion. It is so different. It is a divine thing. And it is by divine power that this is made possible. That this is made possible between man and God, that our sin can be, has to be taken away by forgiveness of sin, remission, that happens by the power of the blood of Christ, the Son of God. This is the very heart of the gospel, the center of the gospel. Here is the, you could say, the separation. If your sins are forgiven by grace, by the power of the work of Christ, or not. And the Lord Jesus is teaching about it, and about that wonder, that miracle. Oh, do you know this freedom in your life? The deep joy in your heart? That life-changing love of Christ in your soul? Do you know it? You should have an answer on that question. Don't avoid it. Let there be an answer. You cannot have rest before that answer is, yes, by the grace of God, I have received this in my heart, in my life, through Christ, through faith. The Lord Jesus is teaching about it and about the result, what that means, what kind of transformation it brings in our lives. And the reason why, you could say, he is teaching this, why he started to teach about this. Well, Peter is asking a question and then the Lord is answering and teaching by a parable. So the question Peter is asking, Lord, how many times should we forgive? And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Peter thinks, well, that's a lot. Maybe Peter had in mind something he has experienced. Someone sinned against him. And then, you know, and the Lord Jesus is talking about that situation also in the beginning of this chapter, that a brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And then the question comes up, but, you know, how many times can such a thing happen that I forgive my brother? Did you ever experience such a situation and maybe struggle with that question? And maybe you could forgive by the grace of God, but if it happens again, would you be able to forgive again and again and again, 7 times? What is the answer of the Lord Jesus? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 70 times 7, 490. Well, the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that you should stop after 490 times. But 70, 7 is a full number, you could say a perfect number. It's the number used for God Himself, His fullness. And then 70, so you could say 7 times 10, and then times 7, it's like the Lord Jesus says, well, that will never stop, Peter. That will always continue. That you should forgive. That you should forgive your brother. And so this is a deep lesson, the Lord Jesus using a parable to bring this home. To make it clear how this should happen, why this could happen. How could I ever do that? That's not human anymore. That's impossible. Well, listen, says the Lord Jesus. I'll make it clear. I paint you a picture. Listen. And this is how the kingdom of heaven is. I know it's not something of this world. I know it's not something that's growing on the field of your own heart. This is something of God, of the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? The dominion, you could say, the dominion of heaven in your life will cause such a transformation. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. So you could think about, like we see also in other parables or histories, about a king who has servants who are like stewards. They are accountable or responsible for a certain part of his property. And so they have to make sure that the king wouldn't lose anything, but get the profit from it. So he starts to reckon. It's like a day of, you could almost say like judgment. It's at least it's a picture of that great judgment day, isn't it? That we all have to stand and appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So this king, he had begun to reckon, and one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. So this man had neglected to pay what he should pay to his master, to this king, and wasted it for himself in one or other way. 10,000 talents. How much is it? Well, 10,000 talents, that's like, you can read it in the back of the TBS Bible, it's like $12 million. But then if you make the calculation to that time, people would make, for one day work, they would earn like 20 cents, dollar cents. So then you could say it's 60 million days wages, salary. What? 60 million days? You have to work 60 million days for it. Or if you calculate 2 years, then it's a 200,000 years work. Now that's impossible. If you get very old, you might get 100 years in this world, and probably you cannot work all those 100 years, and then 200,000 years. That's impossible. You can never pay that back, can you? No. It's amazing. How is it possible? Such a debt. So deeply in debt. Well, there he is, standing before the king. But for as much as he had not to pay, he has nothing. His lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Sell him, so that he will be a slave, and his wife and his children. Then at least there will be some of this money, and he will receive punishment for this behavior. Oh, that is hard. It's like a blow for this servant. Therefore, the servant fell down. Yeah, we understand that. But he also worshipped him, saying, Lord, Lord, there he's laying on the ground. Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. What did he say? You will pay me all? That's impossible. That will take 200,000 years to make that money. And that's what he says. He's desperate. Have patience, O Lord. Have patience. And then something happens. Something so amazing. This Lord knows. This king knows he will not be able. Look there, he is laying and he is pleading, but it's impossible. So what does this king, this Lord do? Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. You remember what compassion is? You do, probably. Compassion is your pain in my heart. This Lord was moved with compassion. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. What? He loosed him, forgave him the debt? Those 200,000 years of work taken away, that burden taken away all at once? Yes, that happens. This is such a great compassion, isn't it? But still, if you think about God as the King of Kings and think about our situation before God, we standing before a holy God like we one day will be on the day of judgment or the day we pass away from this life, our guilt is much more than those 200,000 years of work salary. Much more. We have sinned against a holy, eternal God, our Creator. So that means this is a debt that is without limits, you could say. It's endless. It's eternal. It would take eternity to pay the price, and we would never make it. Did you fall at his feet? Did you see it? Did you ever see the terrible situation you are in by nature? Then you will fall. Then you will plead. then you will cry, Lord, be merciful to me. And is that possible? Is that your struggle? Would that be possible for me? And that burden would be taken away from me. Yes. The compassion of Christ, the compassion of God is much deeper. And it has to be to save such a sinner as me. And this is what Scripture is teaching us, that there is a much greater grace in the forgiveness of our sins. It's overwhelming. It is life-changing. It's changing hearts. This compassion shown in the love of Christ, sacrificing himself on the cross to take my sins away, to make me free from that awful burden of guilt and debt and sin. But it is reality. You may say, well, but I cannot see that. I do not feel it. But it's written here that there's grace, that there's power in the blood of Christ to wash all your sins away. And that's what we pray for with this petition, this fifth petition in the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's the perfect prayer the Lord Jesus teaching his disciples. And so it's a prayer we daily pray, isn't it? In one or other way, you might use different words, but this is the thing we bring before the Lord every day. But Pastor, forgiveness is once forever, isn't it? Yes, it is. But I've explained before, did I not, that we daily sin. We daily stumble in sin and want that power of the blood to cover those sins. And we want to experience this miracle in a new and fresh way. Because this is the fountain of the change of my life. This is the fountain of a life of gratitude. And every time I start to think about it, I cannot fully comprehend it, but every time I start to think about it, yeah, it's opening a fountain of gratitude in my heart. Oh Lord, thou art worthy to receive my whole life and everything I have and I am. Lord, I want to glorify thee. I want to worship thee. So, yeah, this miracle, I want to hear it again and again. It is such a deep thing, such a full thing. It's such a rich thing. It's such a deep joy in my heart that God has accepted me and that I am in his eyes blameless because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to sin anymore. That's the truth. I hate sin, abhor it, because of this great grace of Christ. So, that's what we expect now also in this parable, in the life of this servant who was forgiven, who was loosed, and who didn't have to pay the debt anymore. He forgave him the debt. But what happens? But the same servant went out. There he goes. Oh, he must feel so light, as if he could fly, isn't it? But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. How much is that? 100 pence. Well, a pence is the wages for one day work, so 100 days of work. How long is it? Like 4 months? That's not so much. Just 100 pence. So the fellow servant owes him this amount of money. And he laid hands on him. He took him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay, you have to pay me. Pay me that thou owest." Took him by the throat. Did the king do that to him? No. Well, then this fellow servant fell down at his feet, just the same like he did a few minutes before, and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." He will certainly do that. It's just 100 pence. What is that compared to 200,000 years, 4 months? And he would not, what? He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He went and cast him into prison. So maybe a situation where he could work and make some money, or be sold like a slave, and in that way make money that the debt could be paid. He wants his money, those 100 pence. How unbelievable. How cruel is this servant. And is that something, you know, is that something that could happen in our lives? How is this possible? Can you explain this? It is so sad. You feel so sorry when you see this happening before your eyes. And people do see it. And people will see how we behave in this world, isn't it? They will see it. So when his fellow servants saw that, some other servants are there and they see this happening, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. "Lord, listen, this is what we have seen. That servant that was forgiven, he came outside and there was a fellow servant, he owed him a little amount of money, and now he cast him into prison because he didn't want to forgive." And oh, then this Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desiredst me." Wicked servant. "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Of course. That should be the fruit, the result in his life, in our lives. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, the torturers, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. What a parable. What a warning. What a teaching. How can we apply it to our lives? Is it possible that you are forgiven and that it would be taken back? No, that's not possible. We know that where the Lord has worked grace in the heart, he will keep it. He will keep it. But still there is a deep lesson. It cannot be that there is truly grace received in the heart and that you are unwilling to forgive your brother. It cannot be that there's the power of forgiveness in your life and it is not seen in your walk in this world. Yeah, you might have heard the promises of God. The gospel might have been preached to you, maybe for years. But if it did not transform your life, if it did not change your heart, if it did not melt that hardness and cruelty inside, that selfishness, then you did not really receive it. It is not possible that those two go together. that you continue to live that old self-centered and cruel, hard life and are accepted by God and His grace filled your heart. That is impossible. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It's a deep warning. It's a very important lesson for us. And we all have to search our hearts tonight. How do we pray this petition, this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer? Do we pray it in a way that our hearts are filled with the grace of Christ and are ready to be gracious to our neighbors or not? And remember, it was seen, this behavior, and the sorrow in the hearts of the fellow servants. This world is watching us. People are watching you and me. Do we forgive our neighbor? Or are we not forgiven by God? It cannot be that you are forgiven and that you are unwilling to forgive your neighbor. This Lord, this King, was angry. And God, the King of Kings, is angry against us if we are unwilling to forgive our neighbors. So it's good that we try to understand that better, also with the help of the Heidelberg Catechism, what this means, this way of life, following the footsteps of Christ, who was praying at the very moment when he was nailed to the cross, praying for his enemies. What does it mean to forgive my neighbor? That's very important to think about it, and how can we receive this spirit and attitude of forgiveness in our hearts. Let us first sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 142. 142, stanza 1 through 3. 142, stanza 1. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. 142, all stanzas. congregation to pray this petition, of course, if we pray that sincerely, includes the repentance in our lives. I mean, it is that we admit in a humble way before the Lord that we are guilty before Him. Forgive us our debts. So there's no more that we try to excuse the evil in our life, but we acknowledge it before God and we humble us before Him. We repent about it. And those two belong together, repentance and forgiveness. And that's the way to receive this forgiveness in our lives, in our hearts. Repentance. It's like a turning away from that evil. It's not that I want to continue that evil and want to be forgiven at the same time. That's impossible. We all know that. So it's a matter of change of our hearts and lives, isn't it? True faith includes a change, a conversion of our lives, a turning away from evil to God, to Christ, to find grace, forgiveness, and renewal. The Catechism is explaining this prayer, that is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. So in acknowledging my sin and guilt before God, which I see from Scripture, from the light of the Word and the Holy Spirit, I do not think, in true repentance, I do not think that God could forgive it for any merit in myself. Lord, I did wrong, but I made up for it. I changed my life, and I did a lot of good for other people. So now, Lord, forgive my sins. No, that's not the way how Scripture is showing the way of forgiveness and peace with God to us. We do see some people try, it's our natural inclination. Some people who live secretly in sin are the most kind people. You wouldn't believe that they have this secret darkness of willfully continuing in sin in their lives. And they are so kind, and they have such a zeal for doing good to their neighbors. It's like they want to make up for it. They deeply inside, they know it's wrong in my life. I do wrong. But look, they tell themselves all the time, look how much good I do. And so they try to make up for it. No, that's not what the Catechism says. Be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. So you came to an end of trying to make up it by your own good works and your own efforts. Your own kindness and everything you accomplish. No, for the sake of Christ's blood. That's my only hope. And that's my only foundation. Not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions. Not to impute to us. Not to count to us, poor sinners, our transgressions. Lord, if Thou would count those transgressions to us, if Thou would keep us accountable for them, O Lord, then we have to perish forever. Please, Lord, we beseech Thee, do not impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, that they, Lord, may be imputed to Christ and His righteousness imputed to me. That amazing exchange. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop after transgressions, it also says, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. So, I do not only confess my deeds, my actions that are evil in my words or my behavior, but I see it is deeper. It is my nature. I'm not a thief because I steal. It's the other way around. I steal because I'm a thief. It comes out of my heart. It is in my nature, and it just comes out, and it can be seen in the actions. So I become aware about the deeper trouble in my life, the deep depravity, which always cleaves to us. It's like tar on your clothes. You want to get rid of it, but it cleaves to us. A depravity. It's the old nature that we have to deal with our whole life. Old sinful nature. And so we, by the grace of God, we are honest about that. If people say sometimes, when you are born again, you do come to a situation that you are without sin, well, then they stop after transgressions. And they tell themselves that they have improved their life so much that they do not sin anymore. Maybe you can make that pretty far if you only think about the outward behavior, some deeds that you do. But if you really carefully listen to Scripture, then you discover, no, it's much more. It is my nature. Sin is deep within. It cleaves to me. Those evil inclinations and desires, they are in, the Lord Jesus says, out of the heart come all these things. And even the sinful thoughts and desires, and the Lord Jesus says, it's like murder and it's like adultery before God, who knows the heart. And so you learn that lesson, you discover that in your life, and so you humble yourselves before God, not only about your deeds, but also about your nature, who you are before God. That's difficult, isn't it? It's about me, how I am. I'm so inclined to be, to have that pride in my heart, to defend who I am, but then to lose your life, to become just a poor sinner before God, who does deserve his condemnation. That's grace. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So, congregation, that also shows how great the grace of God is. That there is forgiveness not only for what I do, evil, the transgressions I do, but also for who I am in myself by nature. That still God accepts me for Christ's sake as his dear child. So powerful is the work of Christ. So powerful is the blood of Christ, is his sacrifice. And this cannot be without fruit. It's such a wonder that there is that eternal glory prepared for such a wretched sinner as I am. So that will change my life. Even as, that's the catechism, also that's what the catechism is teaching. Even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So, that forgiveness of my sins and my depravity, that will cause, you cannot separate it from this feeling, this evidence of the grace in our lives, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. And you feel it. You know it. You know that grace is changing your heart so that you want to forgive your neighbor. You have a firm resolution to do it. You might stumble and struggle, and it doesn't say that it is something that is easy for us to do, but I do have that desire, and I have that firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. And that's also grace. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That Stephen could do that while he was stoned. That's the work of Christ and of the Holy Spirit in his life. So if you struggle with this thing, then you have to come to the Lord to receive His power in your heart and life, or more of His power, so that you will be willing and have that firm resolution from the heart. It's important that we pay attention to that. Like it says in the scripture part, that ye from your hearts forgive your brother his trespasses. It's a matter of the not only of the mouth, of the lips, but of the heart. And then you immediately feel, I need help of God to do that. Because I cannot incline my own heart. But God can, and He does. So it is His grace when I can forgive. There's not something to be proud about, but it's something to be thankful about and very humble about. Let's think a little bit more about this forgiving of transgressions of our neighbors. So it doesn't mean to forgive my neighbor or my brother doesn't mean that we approve the continuing of evil in the life of my brother or sister. But it means that there's no revenge or anger that we want to keep in our hearts against this person. And we also can express that to that person, that we do forgive. But we cannot approve if he wants to continue in an evil way. We have to be clear about that. Because sometimes people can be like predators. They just want to continue with their destructive way of life. And they are abusive in their way of life. And if that happens to you, it can be so hard. How can I deal with this? Can I forgive? But I have to resist. So there's a tension you experience, isn't it? That you cannot approve what this person is doing. And such people sometimes even use this scriptural teaching about forgiveness as kind of a weapon, kind of a tool against their victims. You have to forgive me. And then they use it to have even more power over their victims. Because those victims are sincere in their conscience. And they are not. They are hardened in their conscience. That's very hard. That's a very deep struggle. How to deal with such a situation according to the will and the word of God. So be careful. These things can be very sensitive. We need a lot of wisdom. If we meet a victim of someone who is abusive, we also should not forget that this is not something that we can force. It is a matter of the heart. So if we ever deal with a victim of with someone who is abused, and you know, the hurt can be very deep. I mean, people can do things to others that is kind of destroying your whole life. And what are you going to say to such a victim? I think you first listen very carefully and listen again and again for a long time. And then we might open the word together and seek the help and the light of the Lord to find a way of recovery. To recover, be careful. Pray for wisdom. You cannot just say, okay, you should forgive now, and force that. I mean, we can point in that direction, but also pray for the Holy Spirit to incline the heart. We heard, it's a matter of the heart, isn't it? And so it can be a process, and it can take time before you are ready, before your heart is ready. It can be, and it usually is, also a struggle. Lord, help me that I may forgive this person who has hurt me and ruined so much in my life. But it is something that is scriptural, and it is something that is a blessing also for you if you are hurt. Because if you would be caught in bitterness, then you are caught. You hear it? You hear the word? You are caught. And then kind of, you know, you stay in that situation if you would not come to the point that you can forgive. There's such a freedom in it if you can forgive. If you can give it in the hands of the Lord. Avenge belongs to the Lord, isn't it? So it's a blessing for you as well. If you can bring it to the Lord, and if you can leave it there, you will receive a blessing in that way. And God can help you to come to that point that you can forgive. That you really can forgive that person who hurt you so deep. Well, does it mean, if you have forgiven, does it mean that you become great friends? Not always. I mean, there are situations, we live in such a broken world and situation, and especially when this person is not really changed, not really changing his behavior, how can you be great friends? I mean, it can be necessary that there is a distance. If this person is continuing to be an abusive person, you may forgive. But it doesn't mean that you allow this person to be close to you and continue to hurt or destroy you. I mean, we all understand that, isn't it? And so be careful. Be careful in judging others. You probably don't know everything. And pray for each other. And pray for the help and the light and the guidance of the Lord in those situations. Oh, forgiveness is a gift of God. It is the work of the Lord Jesus by which we receive forgiveness. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to apply it in our lives. And it is such a rich blessing. It's bringing peace to our hearts. We, being justified by faith, have peace with God. Peace. Can you describe that? Peace. Something of that harmony of heaven. And then the fruit will be that you have that firm resolution to forgive your neighbors. It's your desire and intention to live in harmony with your neighbors. Oh, we really need the help of the Lord. But let's pray for it, because the world is watching us and seeing how we Christians behave. And it is about not only about the peace in your heart and the blessing of the Lord, it's also about the glory of God, the honor of His name. But He is mighty. He is powerful to do anything. With Him, nothing is impossible. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness, that Thou hast given us Thy word and the gospel, Lord, and apply it to our hearts. Lord, we live in such a broken world. We have caused such a destruction by sin. And Satan is such a liar, a deceiver, a wolf in sheep clothes many times. Lord, oh, give us wisdom how to live a godly life in this world full of hurt and pain and sin, darkness and selfishness, to have that attitude and spirit of Christ. Not approving evil, repenting about evil in our own lives, confessing our evil before Thee and where necessary before our neighbors, but still also resisting evil. Lord, oh, it can only happen when that overwhelming love of Christ is filling our hearts, His compassion, much deeper than the compassion of the king in the parable. Lord, how we pray, bless us with Thy grace every day, so that we will be gracious to our neighbors. But Lord, that Thou would also keep us, that we will not slip and fall in evil, that we will walk with Christ day by day. Be with us when we go home, Lord. Keep us on the dangerous roads. We pray for those that experience hurt in their lives and pain and brokenness, Lord, and we all do in a certain way, and some do more than others. But Lord, that Thou would give us to see Christ, who is broken on the cross, so that we could be healed forever and ever, to be with Him, to see His love, and to see His glory, and to worship Him, to praise and honor Him. Lord, help us in this new week and all the things we have to do, and keep us from sin, and keep Satan from us. Lord, we pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is a praying high priest. And Lord, if we have things this week that are hard for us, that Thou would be with us. We thank Thee for Thy goodness, that Jessica Sweetman could be in church after the surgery she had, Lord, the back surgery. Thou hast made it well so far. We pray that there will be a total recovering, like Thou art able to do, so that Thy name will be glorified. Lord, hear us. In Jesus' name, amen.